lives through your word today in Jesus' name. We pray for those who are coming, joining us online. We ask that they also be blessed in Jesus' name. Pray for our city, for peace, our state, our nation. We ask that you grant our rulers wisdom and strength so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for each one of us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. Let's sit down and get into the word of God. God is good. I'm doing something different tonight, and I want us to dig into it. I've been battling with what to call it since morning, or since 2 days ago. You know, they are the last words of Jesus. I think about a year or two ago, I started talking about Jesus' last word. If you remember, in John chapter 14, 13, 14, 15, 16. And I didn't go past chapter 1, if you remember. So, but I just felt a strong urge to get back in there. It's one of the best things you can ever read. In fact, I don't know what to call it. I want to call it Jesus' last and intimate meeting. Jesus' last meeting before he died with his disciples. It's so pregnant with a lot of truth. And I've always gone back there to find my bearing when I need to be sharpened, straightened, and helped. They are marvelous. They are Jesus' heart opening to us. We're going to see what we can do from John 14, 15, 16. They are his last word. They are his, the disciples, 12 of them, sat down with him, and he crystallized all that he'd been saying, and for the future, he sat down with them and he prayed. He finished praying and headed for the cross. John 17 was his prayer. That the whole chapter, Jesus never really prayed long in the Bible. If he prayed long, we don't hear what he prayed. But in John 17, which we saw in third service sometimes ago, Jesus prayed for the disciples then and for us too. Just imagine, we will get down there too. And he prayed. And so we're going to look at Jesus' last words. What did he want for us before he died? What was he looking forward to? John chapter 14. If you look at John 14, actually, it began from John 13, and I don't want to go back, but you'll have to go back. John 14 is, how many of you use Bible that has in your Bible a red letter, Jesus' words? If you look at your Bible, you'll see that John 14, John 15, John 16, they are almost all in red letter. And then John 17 is red letter all through. And then John 18, he went to the cross. So this is his last words. And I want us to just sit down and look at our lives in the light of that. Let's introduce our subject. I don't want to go back to chapter 13. That's where I started from. Let's look at John 13, verse 1. This is the last Passover, his last moment. I don't know what to call this one. So we call it Jesus' last words, or Jesus' last meeting, or Jesus' intimate last moment with his disciples just before he died. Look at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, I want you to look at this set of words. It's just something else. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. So, can we look up a minute? Jesus had a particular hour ahead of him. You know, we human, what we do is that when you die, when you live, when you die. But Jesus didn't just come like that. He didn't come just to live and die, like every other human being. He came for a particular. Look at John 12. I'll show you. John 12. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Look at verse 23. John 12, 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour, please take a look at the screen. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. Wow. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. So Jesus said, that hour is the hour of glory. But it's also an hour of suffering. And he had a battle. Should I try to avoid the suffering? And can I be honest with you? Everything glorious in life has a suffering side. You can't get distinction without some suffering. You can't get the best thing in life without some pain. So Jesus was having this glory in mind, and he could see the suffering that he would go through, and his soul, his emotional part, cringed at it. And he said, see, I love Jesus. He was able to distinguish between himself. He said, he didn't say, I'm troubled. He said, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Should I let my soul influence my prayer and pray like this, Father, save me from this hour? No, he said, I have a higher reason. You know, there's nothing as beautiful as having a higher reason to overcome your feelings and your thoughts. I said it in the area of marriage, in the area of my work as a pastor, in this some serious life issues. For instance, I can't walk away from my wife, no matter what I feel, because there's a higher reason. For this cause, Solomon leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. For this cause, Solomon, and he said, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man. So, God and man, you're going to have to get under him. I hope you get what I'm saying now. So, I mean, you are in school, you know, and you're facing your defense of your thesis, and you can't say, I'm feeling too bad, I can't go. You're going to have to go. So, for this purpose, I came to this hour. So, this hour was what's on Jesus' mind. Let's go back to what that John 13 now. Now, before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, finally it came, the hour came, like exam hour, like interview hour, that he should depart from this world to go to the Father. Now, can you read the last set of words with me? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. There's somebody beside you. That includes you. That includes me. We are his own. So, I want you to see something over here. Having loved his own who were in the world, he was going to heaven, and we are here. And he was departing, and what he had for us, that he loved us. Can we read this in Amplified Bible Classic? Give us an Amplified Classic. Amplified. Please, I want you to look at this on the screen. Now, before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew, was fully aware that the time had come for him to leave this world, return to the Father, and as he had loved those who were in his own in the world, he loved them to what? To the last and to the highest degree. Think about that. Jesus loved me to the last and to the highest degree. Oh, wow. Can we have the Message Bible? That's last part. Let's see. Message Bible. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. So, this moment was a time of love, a time of sharing, a time of talking. And if you just come in, we're talking about Jesus' last words, not on the cross. His last meeting, his last gathering with his disciples. A lot of stuff you're going to learn. You know, it's like we're going to just be in the building 2,000 years ago and watching what is happening, or what was happening. So, at this moment, Jesus, what did he do? Look at next verse. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon, the Iscariot family in his grip, all set for the betrayal. So everything is set. Next verse. Take a look at this verse. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge, authority of everything. First, second, that he came from God, and third, was on his way back to God. So Jesus had these three firm information in his hand. Number one, that God had given all authority, finally, and he came from God to this world, and that he was going back to God. Now, that kind of knowledge, what will you do with it? Now, just imagine, there were 12 disciples in the room. This is the Last Supper, representing all of us. They walked in, sat down. They knew it was a serious meeting. They didn't know what it was, but they knew that it was a serious meeting. It was the last moment with them. It's like somebody dying and calling all his children. Just like Jacob called his 12 children, remember? Jesus was calling his 12 spiritual children that will give birth to the new nation of Israel. So what will be the greatest thing we do at that moment? Knowing all that, take a look what he did. Next verse. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, put on an apron, and next verse, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with his apron. You know what he did? After having, can you just imagine, you are sworn in as the president. You are given staff of office. And the next thing you do is to get on your knees and wash the feet of people. I didn't want to start here. I want to start ahead, but I want to portray this to you. Jesus, with all his power, remove his outer robe, which they wear, tie the towel, and fell down. And he fell down at the feet of the first disciple. I don't know who that was. I know that he came to Peter too. Peter started talking, so he fell down like that. Or he did like this, or whatever he did, and started washing the feet. Something I wanted to say, I don't want to pass. Please listen, everybody. Jesus was more concerned about the interaction of these 12 more than anything else. Yeah, he's going to talk to them. They're going to listen to him. But he wanted something to be with them. So he brought this demonstration first, that the only way you can keep on together is to serve one another. Every organization, every family, every corporate body can never exist if you don't serve one another. The more you serve one another, the more developed you are. The less you serve one another, the less developed you are. You can see developing country and developed country. It's just the service quality. Am I right? Something comes from Europe, you know it's high quality because they serve you. Don't come from India or China. You're not so sure. Is it cool? Huh? You go abroad, you want to buy something, you don't want it anymore, you get your money back quickly. It's in Nigeria, you want to take something, the internet won't work. See what I'm talking about? So Jesus wanted them to serve one another. So he started washing their feet. He got to Peter. Peter said, don't wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you're not one of us. So if you are going to really live together, we have to serve one another. Show me a home where they serve one another. Show me a lasting home. Show me a company where they serve one another. It should be a great company. So they serve one another. Jesus was putting emphasis on that. But that's not the subject. I wanted to start. Look, you 12 guys, you are together. One of them was a thief already sold him. But he was sitting down there. Or he was on his knees doing all that. Let's look at John 13 again. So, let's jump about Peter and Co. Let's go to verse 12. So, when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Isn't that interesting? He didn't tell them first. He did it first. You know, we are quick to talk and explain forever. Like somebody said, a woman was carrying her baby, and she was smoking, and telling the baby, "Smoking is not good for you." You know, what she was doing and what she was teaching, they are two different things. So he said, "You know what I'm going to do to you?" Next verse 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." Next verse. If I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Next verse. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Praise God. Then verse 17 says, if you know these things, blessed, happy are you if you do them. So the happiness of a family, of a people, of a church, of a company, of a nation, will only be when we serve one another. So I'm talking about Jesus' last words, which I did before and I stopped. So I want to go back to it and get to the nitty-gritty of Christianity. And you're going to get some good time. Hopefully, I won't jump out again if it's too much, you know. So Jesus got these 12, and he wanted them to interact together. And the interaction will be not on position and hierarchy and order. It will be on service level. That every one of us will be serving the other person. That's the only way we can keep this thing going. Even if you look at your human body, every part of the body serves one another. Am I right? What the eyes cannot do, the hand will do it. Where your ears cannot go, your leg will walk there. Your legs will walk there. So that coordination, that's what Jesus wants. And let's jump. I want to get to where he's talking to all of us. But let's go to verse 33, John 13. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, as I said to the Jews. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, wow, praise God. What did he say to you? Look at this verse. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The older I get, the more I'm getting more convinced that heaven is as close as love. Anywhere we demonstrate love, heaven is there. You know, I mean, I'm saying it as parent, grandparent, I'm saying it with friends. Every time I sit down with people, friends, strangers, and I reach out in love, you feel so fulfilled. And I was thinking that I wish I had embarked on this journey when I was 20-something, not just be ambitious about something in life, you know. You know, Jesus was saying, I'm giving you a new commandment. There's one commandment, just love. Do you know, how many of you have had that commandment in the last 1 week? In the last 1 month? Have you noticed that when you go to YouTube, all these teachings, you don't hear about love of God? You hear about somebody attacking somebody, somebody prayer, somebody victory, somebody adventure, all kinds of things you hear. You never hear love. You haven't heard about love. Sorry to say this, forgive me, I'm just giving a demonstration. Can you just imagine Deeper Life saying, all of you love those in RCCG. All of you RCCG, love all those ones. It's about work. Do something, do something, do something. That's why they attack us now. Give us, give more money, give more money, give more money. I'm all right, forgive me. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, love one another, love one another, love. If you just love one another, it will go a long way. Hallelujah. Look at that next verse, 35. This is my wife's area. By this all will know that you are my disciples, by your big, 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 big meetings. No, I'm a stranger, forgive me. If you have love one for another, just love one another. But this is not my subject. I'm just giving you the... Jesus was talking about what will happen within them. Then we'll start addressing them later. But he said, look, I'm leaving. And I want you to do this. You know, they fought a lot over things before Jesus left. They fought. I mean, John, we saw that on second service. John and James, followed by their mother, came to come and secure position. You know, put my son on the right and the left. That means Minister of Defense, Minister of Finance. You have gotten the whole country in your hand. You know, so the other 10 got angry because they had gone before them. They wanted to ask for the same thing. So Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are doing. You know, it's not like this in this kingdom. It's not. Let's read that. Matthew 20. We read it last Sunday, second service. Put something there. Matthew 20:20. Let's take a look. I didn't want to go this way at all today, but let's just follow it through a little bit. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. All the manipulation was out. She knelt down. older than Jesus, said to her, "What do you wish?" Said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit on one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." Next verse. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Can I make you laugh? Can I make you laugh? You won't believe this. Far way back in 1995 or 96, one man, elderly man, just middle age, he said he's joining Redeem because God has asked him that he will replace Baba Adeboye. Baba Adeboye lives. 1995, planning Baba Adeboye's exit. And that's why he joined the ministry, that Baba Adeboye will leave one day so that he could replace him. I said, "What?" You know what you are asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink, baptized with? They said to him, "We are able." Next verse. And can we go on? So he said to them, "You will need to drink my cup and baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it's prepared by my Father." One of the things I'm coming to see in life is to celebrate those that God has promoted. It's to always see people and rejoice with them. You know? I mean, good things happen to them, scream with them, shout with them, man. You're not thinking that it will happen for you too. You know? I mean, you see, what happened to them? What happened to them? No, I don't think like that. I never passed by the camp, one that's Ulua, camp, it's rare for me. I don't need it. What do I need? My wife, my children, living life good. That's all. The rest is history. Praise God. You know? So the Father knows what he can do with anybody. And we don't have to be struggling. But let's go on. Let's read on. So the 10 had it. They were greatly. Go back. Oh, you have jumped. Next verse. When the 10 had it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Let's go on. And whoever is there, please, don't do this to us today. Just calm down. You want the right position? Black background, thank you. Help us. So we notice that. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are great, what do they do? Give us an NLT. Give us this verse NLT so we can make it clearer. NLT. Can you? Thank you. Jesus called them to them. "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them." Somebody was telling me that this man was made one of the charm of something. And he will never get up until they fully address his name. Prince, barrister, doctor. If it's not complete, he won't get up. He will say, "Which one have you left out?" Can you just imagine? I mean, let me not say anything else. You know, I mean, it's in the 60s or 70s. You wonder, because it's just that. You know, years ago, there was a great man of God. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He's almost number one or two, number two evangelist in America. Ura Robert. He came to Benin, and they asked him, "How do we write you a letter?" You know what he said? He said, "Just like, Ura Robert, USA, I'll get my letter." Huh? Can you imagine? Some of us, they write our street. But no title. He just said, "Ura Robert." Don't put any title. Don't put anything. Just say, "Robert, yes, I'll get my letter." The bigger you are, the more your name becomes more prominent than just anything you tie to it. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let's go on. So, but among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. You see, Yoruba philosophy is directly opposite to that. You are serufaye. But it says, you must be your servant. Next verse. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. I read another one somewhere. He said, whoever wants to be first among you, let him be the younger or the youngest. I said, "Nah, find out how to stay younger all your life." Just calm down. You stay younger. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what we are dealing with over here. This Jesus people, that we should serve one another. We should not, whatever it will cost us to help our fellow brother, fellow sister, we should go and do that. I made that my life philosophy, that whether in church or out of church, Christians, believers, born-again believers, they are worthy of my time and attention. Praise God. You know, and I, over here, when we help sometimes pastors, my wife and I, we help pastors, they will say, how come you are helping us? You are not our GO. I say, that's not it. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, I got a brother in Lagos. He just came to see me, Reverend David, my brother. And my dad, when he was alive, I used to say this. If I go and see my dad in the village, he will ask me, how are you doing? How's family? And if you ask your brother David, and I say, I've not seen him in the last 5 years, and I don't care. Knowing my father, he will have gotten up and slapped me before he would think twice. Oh, sorry, we slap him. I mean, you can't imagine that my brother, in the same town where we are, I won't check up on him, I won't bother about him, and then I come to see him as my dad. You know that those wine winners, Redeem, Trem, RFC, need that to the same father every time we pray. Same father. That's no father of RCCG. That's no father of, you know. That's what caused the trouble in Corinthian church. They were divided among men. Tremites. RFCites. Methodist or something. Anglican. So I tell people, I said, I'm an Anglican, I speak English. I'm Baptist, baptized in water. I'm Methodist, I do things methodically. Pentecostal, I speak in tongues. So, praise God. So we are brethren. Hallelujah. Of course, those who are following Jesus, I mean by that. Not just those who just go to church. So Jesus was emphasizing this. But that's not my subject today. Jesus, we're talking about Jesus' last word. He spoke so much. His last meeting with his disciples. What did he say? And I want us to look at it. It has been a great influence in my life over the years. I mean, in fact, right now, I'm in John 12 in my reading of the Gospels. And I'm already waiting to get into John 13, 14, 15, 16. It's amazing. It's like the most holy place of Christianity. Let's go to John 14. Let's start. Verse 1. Let's open it like this. This is what Jesus said first. After finishing talking about love. And he now faced them. And you know what he said? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Oh, by the way, before we go further, can we look at the first word he said and the last word he said before he prayed? This is the first word he said to them after talking about love. The last word he said, let's look at John 16, 33. That's the last word before he prayed, went to the cross. John 16. This is summarizing everything he has said. These things that we are going to consider now for 14, 15, 16. He said, these things, you know, taught us, I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. So what we are going to be looking at, when we are through with them, they're going to make us to be at peace. Praise God, somebody. That no matter what's happening in our world, we have a stability and a settlement in Christ. If you don't know these things, we will be a little bit edgy and anxious and we'll be wondering what will happen to our life. He said, of course, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. So these things have I spoken to you. We're going to consider those things. And we're starting with the first one, John 14, verse 1. Let's go back there. John 14, verse 1. Look at what it said. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you know that the first thing Jesus talked about is about your heart? The core of your being. We have our life in several layers. We have layers. But when we come home, we call our wife, not sweethead, sweetheart. Why? Because our heart matters. And our heart is where we process everything. So Jesus said, at the core of your being, I don't want you troubled. Hey guys, do you have Passion Bible? You got Passion? Thank you. Give us Passion. Spello Media, thank you. Give us Passion of this verse. What does that mean? Don't worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, we can just close and go home here. Don't worry or surrender to your fears. What? For you believed in God. Now, trust and believe me also. Believe in us. Jesus said, look, you want to trust me too. Now, you trust God, but it's not enough to be a guardian. That would be a Christian. You got that? Being a guardian. Are you hearing me? Let me use that word a little bit. Just trusting in God is not enough for you. It's like looking at black and white picture. You know, God, everybody believes in God. But then God is clarified and accurate in Christ Jesus. Christ is like you are taking glasses to look at something that you can't see very well. We can't see God very well. Of course, we know there's a God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omni whatever. But how, who is he? How does he behave? How can we follow after him? How can we be accurate about him? Islam said they believe in God. Christians said they believe in God. Buddha said they believe in God. Which God is accurate? So Jesus said, when you come to God, all of you have some ideas, but I want you to not worry or fear. You see, when you have adequate information about something, you are at peace. When you have accurate, Jesus said, look, what I'm bringing you is the accurate thing from God. This is not supposition. This is not a shadow. This is not image. This is not kind of a drawing, a sketch. Bible said the Old Testament is a sketch, an outline, a shadow of the good things to come. But Jesus is the real deal. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. And something I want to emphasize here, let's go back to NKJV. I want to see something over here. Please, I want to see this. Don't give us in a... Let not your heart be troubled. That means this is something you have to do yourself. You have to wake up every day and don't let your heart be troubled. Today, we pick up our phone. Those days, we watch TV and we walk away from it. Now, it's still in our pocket. Huh? Woke up 2 days ago, Iran president crashed with something. Something over here, something over there, something over there. So you think that, next time, you say, come on, enter chopper. You'll be thinking twice. We're dead. Iran president dead, you know? So, chopper has become chopping your head. It's no longer chopper flying your head. You know, this kind of thing like that. You have all kinds of things going on in your head. You say, hey, protect your heart. Prophet said, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, my biggest job is not pastoring. My biggest job is my heart. Because if I'm depressed here, it will affect everybody here. You know? So, I was telling my wife today, something happened to us, you know. So, I said, look here, I'm the head here. I have to represent God. I have to, you know, I just can't. I mean, just imagine you go to the doctor. Doctor said, you, I mean, the doctor's just walking. Everybody's just say, okay, all right, take care, put over there. I mean, you have some, assume some confidence. So Christ is saying, assume confidence in life. Praise God, hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm preaching to myself too. You didn't get the gist. I'm telling myself too. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, this and that, and this and this, and what about future? What about going to happen? You know, like Robert Louis Stevenson, the man who invented engine, locomotive engine. You know, after he made the machine, he called the sister to come and enter the locomotive. The sister said, "It will never start. It will never start." She's worrying about it. So he said, "Sister, enter." So she put the thing on, it started moving. You know, our next worry, it will never stop. It will never stop. You know, here you are. Before you got married, your worry was, how will we get married? What will we do now? You get married now. Okay, how will we survive? How will we live? Then you get, you know, how do we gonna have children? Then you have children now. How do we pay their school fees? Huh? And if they are girls, how do you dress them? If they are boys, jeans and trousers will do. So here you are. So what to do? You just have to keep your heart. But to keep your heart, take something. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So the biggest help you can give yourself is to believe. Believing, for me, I think, is the most important thing a Christian can do. In fact, we are called believers, right? We are not called lovers. We are called believers. We're going to have to believe something. We have to hold to something. If you don't do that, we've lost the sense of being a Christian and our identity. Believing is our greatest power. Can I prove that? Give us the verse that we all know the most, John 3:16. Let's take a look. You're coming back here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever does what? We know what God does well. God loves. Am I right? God loves. In that verse, he doesn't ask me to love. That's what he asked them under the Old Testament, and they find it difficult to love. But I can believe that he loves me. Praise God. I can believe. I can accept the facts. Praise God. And that's the way we live. You know, today, you have gone to school. When you are going to school, I didn't know school you went to. I didn't know what you get over there. But you do something. You go to your CV and write your certificate. And the workplace will believe you. They don't see you in school. But they just trust those words written down on paper and take it as that. So, the biggest thing we can do as Christians is to believe. And believe what? For God so loved the world that he loved us. And Jesus said, you believe. You believe in God. So, if you are approaching God, you should not be, you know, can I be honest with you? I have the same problem like everybody has. I'm just, besides preaching, I'm just like everybody else. You know, how many of you, you have this sense of inadequacy sometimes before God? You have this sense of inadequacy. I'm not doing enough sometimes. Something I'm not doing. Like now, usually I wake up in the morning. I didn't read enough yesterday. I didn't pray enough yesterday. I slept off yesterday. And something happened that I didn't. I planned to do this. Something happened to me. So and I was living my life like that a lot of time. So I live my life in the presence of myself. And I can see my inadequacy and my lack and my stuff and my, you know, as a pastor, have you done what you're supposed to do by that person? You know, one time, Prof, remember, we were talking, I said, I regret I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Prof said, no, you did what you do. You know, that's where you feel that sense of inadequacy. If I wish that, or if I didn't, but God said, don't live like that. Live in my presence. Believe in me. That what you cannot handle, I'll do it. And what even you can handle, trust me to finish it for you. Learn to do what you can do and leave the rest, believing that he knows what to do. That even when you are misunderstood, he knows your heart. He was there with you. Praise God, somebody. Are you hearing me? Because how many will you explain to? How many will you tell? Even sometimes yourself doubt yourself, am I right? That is that what you can do or something? But I just believe God. I just believe that he cares about me. But that believing God is not clear, just believing God. So Jesus said, let's go back to John 14, verse 1. Believe also in me. This is it's either a madman or it's a truth. I mean, to tell, can you imagine Jesus standing before God? Just imagine. I said this happened twice now. One by experience, one in the Bible. Can you imagine Jesus standing beside God and telling you, believe not only in God, believe in me. In the presence of God. There must be some super duper. Are you hearing me? There was a man who went to heaven. And when he got before the throne of God, he said he saw Jesus talking to him. And he saw the throne was kind of cloudy around the throne. And he said he was trying to look at the throne. And Jesus said, don't look too close here. Don't look too much there. Look here. I guess this is where we Christians have problems. We want to go around our culture, other religions, to import ideas about God. For instance, Kabiyosi is not biblical stated. It is actually our culture around the Akabiyesi that you don't question for anything. For instance, the usual faith, whatever God has designed, that's the way it is. I'm all alone. It's an Islamic idea. It's called faith, not faith. It's called F-A-T-E. So we Christians love to import ideas from other places, but Jesus is our adequacy. Praise God, somebody. She said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Let me show you that more. John chapter 1. That what Christ brought us about God is adequate enough. We don't need any other extra knowledge from Buddhism, from Islam, from whatever culture to follow with God. That all those things, they are not the best picture of God. They are at best black and white, easy, taking snapshot, cloudy. But Jesus is the Polaroid 7-color high tech HDTV picture of God. John chapter 1. Are we there? Look at verse 1. In the beginning, this is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And what God was, the Word was. That's a bold statement. We know in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. This has been trouble over the years. This has been the problem with Christianity. If not this one, Islam, Judaism, and Christian faith can easily agree. Because they all have a hazy picture of God. The name of Allah, the most powerful, the most compassionate, most merciful, most compassionate. But let's look at next verse. And it was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Next verse. And this light shines in the darkness. Darkness did not comprehend it. It's okay to read all these verses. Let's go to verse 12. Okay, verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. It was in the Word. So that Word that was in the beginning with God, that made all things, that God made all things through him, came into the Word. And the Word was made through him, and the Word did not know him. Born in a manger. Next verse. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own did not receive him. Next verse. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become like himself, children of God, to those who believe in his name. Next verse. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you see all the religions in the world, this is what gave birth to them. All religions in the world, either you are born into it, or you exercise your willpower to join in the light of the truth. Or Rosicrucian or something. It's willpower. Or you are born by the blood, tied together. Next verse, verse 14. And the Word, that Word, the creator, the creative partner with God, became a human being. That's the wonder of all wonders. And dwelt among us. I love what's the Bible. It said, I'm moving into our neighbor, into our neighborhood. Hallelujah. And we beheld this glory. This Jesus. Let's just read from Message Bible. The Word became flesh and blood and moved where? God, this is the wonder of Christianity, that God, Jesus was talking about believing God, believe also in me. The Word that made everything with God became a human being, a baby, crying in a manger. And we saw the glory with our own eyes. That's John talking, was among the 12 apostles. The one of a kind glory. This is different from Moses, Isaiah, Zechariah, and all of them. Like father, like son. Generous inside and out. True from start to finish. You see, everybody, even under the Old Testament, there's this thing about God that is scary. That's not generous. That's not just, you don't, when you come around God, there's a way you have to do things. You have to. But just see Jesus. Children flock around him. Is that what God is like? That's very revolutionary. Next verse. John pointed him out and called, this is the one. The one I told you was coming after me, but in fact he was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me. Has always had the first word. Let's keep on reading. Verse 16. We all live off his generous bounty. Gifts after gift after gift. Give us an Amplified Bible classic. I love it there. Take a look. Out of his fullness, abundance. So the way your nose looked, the way you your personality, your talent, your resourcefulness, they came out of him. You are a piece of the master. You are a masterpiece. Praise God, somebody. You are sponged out of him. I mean, think about that. This Jesus walking around, the one who put us together. Our shape, personality, our experience, our upbringing, they all influenced by him. Look at it. He said, we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gifts heaped upon gifts. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse. I love this one. It says, For what the law was given by Moses through grace on an undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, see, give us an NKJV. Maybe we'll make it clearer. The law came from Moses. So actually, you cannot see God clearly in Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all his rituals. People get bothered when they look at Old Testament. You can see that even in the church. You want to wear something, say something, carry something to show that you have come to God. A long cap, some ring in our hand, and Esperanto dominates. We are to impress God. But Jesus was just grace. It was just truth. It was just life. They had to get Judas to locate him. That means he was not wearing something that was different. God just looking like one of us. I feel like giving him a real clap over there. Praise God. Just one of us. So Jesus is saying, look here, trust that picture of God. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. It's not just God, but you can only see God in Christ clearly. Hallelujah. I want to read one more verse before we stop. Verse 18. Take a look at this verse. It's so powerful. No one has seen God at any time. So all those spiritual leaders, religious leaders, Moses, all of them, they've not really seen God. They've had glimpses of God. Just this afternoon, I read about Moses. Moses was so close to God that God would come down, they would talk face to face, but it was in the cloud. In the cloud, we speak to another cloud, and they would discuss, talk, sometimes laugh, share pain together. And then Moses said, God, show me who you really are. I want to see your glory. He said, boy, don't go that too far. You can't see me face to face and leave. You can't get ahead of God to see him. It's the first and the last. Huh? And he said, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to climb up. Don't let anybody come there because they will just disintegrate. So he said, I will let all my goodness pass. And my last part going, I cover your face so that you won't be blinded. And then when I finally almost leaving, you just see that thing just leaving the hall. Why you, Jesus, you know? I mean you. But it came in Jesus unmasked. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aisha will get this very clear. Because she was a Muslim. Devoted Muslim. And she pushed into Islamic thing and found out that it was just rituals. Actually, they don't pray in Islam. You only repeat the same thing again and again every day, every hour. Then when you finish all that thing, you cannot say, Oluwambe oni o, for something. No one has seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. I believe that every Christian should treasure Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe every Christian, you should treasure Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because that's where God descended. God came here. God walked this planet. And God spoke. So if you don't believe Jesus, God cannot be adequate and clear to you. Let's go back. John 14, where we started from. We're talking about John 14, Jesus' last word with disciples. We're going to look inside there and God helping us. It will be a beautiful journey if I don't drop off the train. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What I said, what I did, you can trust them. Take them to the bank of heaven. Heaven will oblige you. I went to Muslim school. Muhammad himself doesn't know whether this thing is right or not. So he said that he was here, I'm already heaven. Have you ever been there before? You travel somewhere and then it's Lagos, Ebute Metta, you thought it was their streets. In and out like that, and the wedding somewhere there. And they start asking on the road, Iboni, 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 before you finish. And then one guy says to you, I'm going there. Just put your car behind me. Huh? Which one is easier? Thank you. Jesus came from there and is going there. So just get behind me. I'm emphasizing today, believe Jesus. What he said, they were genuine. They were not a religious leader who just went into a mountain and then entered into a particular realm. Oh, he came from that realm here. I had to convince my dad with that. You know, in the light of the truth, Abdul Rushin, what do you call it? Great message, right? Huh? You notice all of them, they have a reference to Jesus. Guess what? Muhammad said is the comforter that Jesus promised. and we're saying, said the same thing. So who is the reference point? Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading so we won't spend all our time here alone. If in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I've got to prepare a place for you. Give us an Amplified Bible. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. You know, I got some set of kids. They got places in our house. They have room where they sleep. Sometimes the mattress is torn. I go check the mattress. Sometimes they say mosquito bite them. I call the guy to come and fix the net as fast as possible. I don't mind biting me. You should not bite them. We scheme and look for a way to pay their school fees so they won't be sent out. Because that will embarrass us, not just them. You know, every one of them has a place in my heart. They will not come on my phone to see where to sleep, and they won't find. Sometimes they come to our bedroom, sometimes just stay there. And because they are girls, I walk out, I'm the boy. I walk out, stay there. That's a place for them. Whatever happens, they can come home. They're free here. Jesus said, you know what? When Adam left the garden, he became a stranger. Now I'm taking you back. You're coming back home. You come stay with me. My Father has a place for you. He's been waiting for you all along. He's not that trying to take you in and say, Wally Bebe. No. He's been looking for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, my kids, when they come home, they don't feel like leaving. Oh, I have to go by that. You know, that kind of a thing. Jesus said, in my Father's house, it's not a small place. People used to torment me those days about heaven. It's a small place. You know? Huh? It's not 2x4. God, leave me someone corner. You know, only few will make heaven. Only few. You know better? I was in before. You know, I did a Jehovah. I was with them. I bought all their books. I like reading. Then they said, 144,000 will make heaven. And I knew I'm not one of them. I can't be one of them. 144,000 out of this planet. Pastor, you try. Forget it. You yourself, you can't make it like that. What all right? Don't deceive yourself. But you know, they use that thing to torment us forever. Only 144,000. Let's go and read it. Chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Let's go and see it. Praise God. Only 144,000. Revelation 7. Praise God. Look at verse. Let's start from verse 3 thereabout. Saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servant of our God on their foreheads. Who are they sealing? Servant, not children. Are you here with me? Let's keep reading. So, and I had the number of those who were sealed. How many? 144,000 of all the tribes. Say, hey, you don't even enter. So Israel was sealed. Let's keep on reading. And he started talking about Judah, 12,000, Reuben, 12,000, Gad. Next verse. That's not Jebulia. That's not outside there, so relax. But see, that's what he read. But let's keep reading. Next verse. Now, look, after these 144,000, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, mega, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues. So within Jebu, we have Sagamite, we have Jebubo, we have different, am I right? By here, they have Owu, they have. Even God said he's going to get people from every tribe, every tongue. Can you clap your hands for Jehovah on the throne? Hallelujah. And tongue, standing before the throne. Wait! If the throne room will take zillions of people, what will heaven take? Don't ever think, Sister Uchi, don't ever think that throne room is a small place. You know, when we say we are worshiping, we go to the throne room, it's just like one corner there, it's as big as a continent. The throne room. What would the place be? Just before the throne. Number could not be number. That's zillions, billions, billions and billions of people coming from this planet. So heaven is not a small place. And they could find a place on the throne. And they gather before the throne. Now you are there. Heaven is not a banner war. We have to struggle to enter. And geos will threaten us. You're not going to make heaven if you don't pay tithe. The man that died beside Jesus, did he pay tithe? Somebody said, Pastor, finally, I can escape tithe. That is for your life here, not for going to heaven. It's for the blessing here. it's for here. He said, I'll pour out blessings from heaven to come down here. Am I right? Not to take you to heaven, to bless you over here. So don't turn to me, I'll not make heaven. And for Ura, praise God. See, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, look at, with palm branches. Remember palms all over the temple? Flourish like a palm tree. They won't come in haggard and torn apart and struggling. No, they come with palm fronds in their hand. We are flourishing, praise God. We are doing well and we are kept pure, praise God. Let's look at next verse quickly. Before the throne and crying out with a loud voice saying, what is it? So they are saved. Belongs to who? Our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In my Father's house are many mansions. Let's go on. What do you say next? And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. That same room with all that zillions of people. Next verse. And they said, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory. You know the song now? Wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belong to our God. That's where the song came from. They're going to sing it one day. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Angels could not sing that. We sing salvation belong to our God, and they join us. Let's keep reading. What did they say about them? Take a look. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Not the 144,000. This was sleep. They were servants still here. But we are up there. Praise God, somebody. And who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? Take a look. Look at your Bible. And he said to him, I don't know, sir. He said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. In the world, you shall have tribulation, remember? And they washed their robes and made them white in their own strength. No, in the white, in the blood of the Lamb. Let's keep reading. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Wow. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. See, don't let life threaten you. Don't let death think that is the end. Huh? No, it's not the end. Not may so rest in peace. We go down there active. You don't sleep forever. No, it's not so resting in peace. May so RIP. That's for the world. We don't do so rest in peace. To be with Christ is far better. The first one that was living this world called Stephen. Remember Stephen when they killed him? The Bible said he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing to welcome him home. The first Christian to die. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, to die is gain. To be with Christ is far better. It's a nice place. So if you get the visa tomorrow, correct visa, permanent visa to U.S. and a job waiting for you from Joe Biden, so you'll be crying? Of course you'll cry. We'll miss Sola. Oh, Sola, you know Sola, meet him for third service. But pack your load yesterday. Let's go, man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know how to close this one. Let's round it up. Let's go back there. One of the elders, what did he say next? Next verse. Give us next verse. They said, neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. Their sons have not struck them indeed, nor any heat. Let's go on. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. You're going to have a final pastor. No longer Tony Amuson. I'll be so glad to pastor myself too. And lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will do what? Every tear you ever had, he will wipe it away. There'll be no reason for it. Next verse, is that the end? I think that's the end of the chapter. Praise God. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Wow. If it were not so, well, I told you. So it's not lying to us over here. I have this picture coming to my mind several times. When I was very small, we'll go to school with our handbag. Those days when we were in school, my father had this gramophone. How many of you know gramophone? Yeah, thank you. They put record like this, beton like this, you know. And I would play Orokiso, Sia Club. How many of you know Aruna Sola? You know Aruna Sola. You know, thank you. This order. My father had Orokiso. Then Fatai Olowoyo. Then that man, that man that sing like this, that's paralyzed, that do like, you know, Yusuf Olatunji. Remember? Is it? Oh, you don't know what this is, you know. I grew up in the house, you know. So, like, mom be drinking alcohol, pure gin, and be singing like that, you know, to you. And my father and his friend, they be dancing in the parlor, drinking to that kind of thing. And that gramophone, I can see right now. It's like a box like that, made with white box, you know, this wood. And I was telling myself, my father died, that's what I'm going to take. Stupid boy. You know? Oh, yeah, I'll take that one. And you know, I'll go to school, come back from school. I tell my friends, come to our house. That's our car. That's our house. That's our gramophone. I didn't buy it. It's our father's own. Praise God. And God has called you in. You are his children. Now, not gramophone now, but life and joy and peace sharing with us. I'm up and making some sense today. You know. Anytime I read this, it makes me so glad that I'm a child of God. So if you are not so, I will have told you. I'm not lying to you. You didn't say, lyingly, I'm telling you. He said, truly, I'm telling you. John 14, let's go back there. Verse 2. So, and let's look at John 14, verse 2. My father's house has many mansions. If I are not so, I will have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know, I have this feeling that when I was growing up there, you know, after I became a Christian, that you just, one day, you just die, and there's nothing there. You just die, and nothing there. There's no heaven, there's no earth, there's no hell. Just die. Nothing. Huh? That's why guys are atheists. There's nothing. Nothing. That scared me for a long, long time. So I heard somebody say, even if there was nothing, I'd still be a Christian. I don't think so. Like I used to say that, if there was nothing like this, I would have had a wife in every state in Nigeria. Praise God. Live like crazy guy, go to hell on his express route. You know? It still crossed my mind. Hey, you see anything there? Is there anything there? Are you sure? Is there anything there? Are you really sure? Okay. Let's do something. Uncle, your mom gave birth to you. Were you there, daddy, when you were born? You were there, but you didn't remember anything. So what's your birthday, sir? March what? 27th March. How sure is your birthday? You were told. Thank you, sir. My own, I'm not so sure. I was born Ivory Coast. They wrote it in English and French. I saw Trois and I saw Cinq. Three or five. So I asked my mom. I said, which one? He said, fifth. And I believe that. Third, thank you. You see, I got a problem. It's October 1, right? Nigerian independence. So here you are. You look at that. You just took it. Huh? Are you really sure? Oh, that's my dad. Are you sure you are not transported and transplanted? That's where you live. You just live on that truth. You believe that. Your very name. You believe that. There's no way to prove it. I can't prove your existence. So why are you worrying about God's existence? You can't even prove your own existence. Bro, how do I prove my existence? You are here. Okay, how do you prove it? Let's put you in a laboratory test. So we say, in this tube, Professor Ali is not there. In this tube, Professor Ali is there. How do you? No. You're just there. You know what shocked me the most? You're just there. Science cannot explain consciousness. It can explain everything else. Stars, billions of them. How did they come about? Wristwatch, there must be a maker. Shoes you wear. So this thing can't just be like this. And Jesus said, I have the right truth about it. Praise God. Next verse. Take a look. Let's start putting this to an end. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is our great hope. Any honest, sincere heart will no longer want to live in this world the way it is forever. I don't know if you agree with me on that. I mean, the way the world is. Of course, we have some little bit of enjoyment and refreshing, but who wants to live like this forever? Oh, we have a packet of rejoicing. Babies are born. You get a new car. You get promoted. But they don't last too long. The car starts getting old. The work starts giving us problems. Even we ourselves are getting old. Huh? So Jesus said, I'll come again. For me, that changed everything. When I came to see that, there's a day that this whole thing will end. And there are better days ahead. That will give you joy as a single parent. What will settle all our rifts, our struggles? You hear, you work, you don't get all the reward. You are misunderstood. Would there be a day when you'll be clearly understood by somebody? Challenges within ourselves. You know, I long to be a person that doesn't have any issue within me, like thoughts, feelings that... Anybody know what I'm talking about? Depressive thoughts, oppressive thoughts, bitterness thoughts, things of the past, memory. Just looking for... will it be like this forever? Like if I leave my body, will it be like that? Jesus said it won't be like that forever. That it's going to come and take us to be where he is. In fact, let's go ahead of ourselves. Let's look at his prayer at the end of this discussion, John 17. We're going to enjoy this life a little bit. We're going to have some good time. But it doesn't last forever. Jesus was praying over here. This is praying before the Father. Verse 24. Father, this is Jesus' prayer. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Wow. Where is he? Fullness of power, fullness of glory, fullness of blessing. No tears, no pain, no struggle, nothing that is disturbing. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, can you imagine that this all will end in a place where all we know is glory and love? Wow. Wow. We have not even plumbed the depth of what heaven is like. We've not plumbed what heaven is like. You know, those who have gone to heaven, people that have gone to heaven, when they come back like that, they just. I remember one of my friends, his wife was not that so serious spiritually person, and then she had some brushes with death. She came back out of that. She was never herself. She's a high class lady. She enjoys things of life. She loved beautiful things. She was blessed with it. Her husband was great. But they don't told me, after that brush with eternity came back, I said, what do you want? Say nothing. You want another car? They bought a car for her. She didn't bother. Then a couple months later, she just left. They had brushes of that eternity. Of course, it has to, you have to be seriously mature to stay back here. If you see that place. I said, you know what you are doing as a professional? You go to the U.S., you want to change the paper and say, stay here forever. Brushes of eternity, you know? It's just, I see people like that. Now, this man called, he gives an assignment that went to heaven, saw angels. After a while, he just left. He stayed here long. Pastor, Mifekuru, listen, I do agree with you. Let's explore that before we leave. Our time is really gone. But can we just explore that a little bit? Let's read some more over here before we go. Father, I desire that they also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Is that the last verse there? No. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and this I have known that you sent me. Let's go to Philippians 1. Hallelujah. Let's recalibrate ourselves in this area. Jesus is coming. He has glory ahead of us. By the way, everybody listen to this. He didn't say, you all come and meet me there. He said, I'm coming back. Why did he have to say that? Why did he have to say, I'm coming back? You don't have to come back, we all die and go to heaven. But no. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'll come back for you. I'll come pick you. People are dying, going to heaven now. No. He said, it's not about just going to heaven. I want us to be together. You call it rapture. We see that time going. But let's go to Philippians 1. And this will help us to handle death and life in a better way. Philippians 1, chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 20. Let's just read from there. Give us an NLT. According to my, for I fully expect, I want you to read this before we close. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life, listen to this, that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Let's keep reading. For to me, living means living for Christ. Wow. And even dying, give us an NKJV, this verse, interesting. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, I had this thing that bugging me, you know. When people die like that, people die. I started about a couple of years ago. When I start sorrowing, start feeling bad, God will say, your real problem is not those who die, it's who they leave behind. You know, here is a guy, has two or three kids and he dies, he goes to heaven. But who take care of those three kids, two kids and wife? That's where the trouble is. It's not trouble, it's not with that guy. So that is gain. Let's keep reading. Next verse. And if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Can we have it in NLT? Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Take a look. But if I live, I can do more fruitful works for Christ. Okay, so Paul was saying this, that when I'm living, I'm working. So I'm here working. I'm here bearing fruit. Remember? So I bear fruit, even their old age. I'm doing something that counts in life. So I really don't know which is better. I don't know what to choose. According to Paul, Olojo on day. You know, people say, there's a day you're going to die. It's already been marked down. No. Ah, what is that? You say, I don't know. So, give us a Bible, Amplified Bible. Take a look at the Amplified Bible. Give us. Quickly. Let's read it. However, it's to be life here, and I'm to go on living, this will mean useful and what? Productive service for me. So, I don't know which to choose. If I'm given that choice. See, that I put it in the bracket to say that. Give me that. That's the choice. You will see that in a minute. Be with me.
Pastor, you mean I can live here forever?
You want to live here forever? Relax. Let's go back to NLT, verse 23. Okay, let's look at it quickly. Hallelujah. I'm torn between the two. Hey, I'm torn between the two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which will be far better for me. Do you see that? No. You know, when I was growing up, I thought, when I die, I do like this. Close my eyes. And they pack me, into the box. And then they take me to church. Everybody look at me. And then they take me to graveyard. And then they leave me there by myself with the grass and the thorns. And I'll be there. And they come 1 year after, in memoriam. 10 years later, in memoriam. And I'm still there. No! I'm not in the grave. That's my body. I get home now, remove this clothes. It's not me. Husband, it will help you. Wife will help you. Your husband is just more than that fine girl, that fine boy. Your husband is a real person inside. That's how somebody, a lady can be so fine and the husband is going to be beating her. No, no. Let's stop down. Let's leave right now. I long to go and be with Christ, which will be far better for me. Next verse. But for your sakes, my baby, my child, to see that they get through. I want to be there for them. I want to be there for you. He was a pastor. He was an apostle. I want to. See, there's a choices. It's better that I continue to live. The real reason is you want to live is because you're going to be comfortable. The comfort over there is more than this place. I hope you can see that. It's a place of work around here. I must walk the work that sent me. Your job, your life, your children, your kids, your family. They need you. Don't let your husband be staggering around hungry and be wishing that. Don't go anywhere yet. Let life fulfill, satisfy. Let's keep reading. What is the next? So he said this. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I'll remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Wow. So, there is a reason for living here now. It's for others. It's to contribute. It's to be a blessing. It's what will extend our lives. I'll show you two men. You know Steve Jobs, Apple. And you know Microsoft, Bill Gates. Jobs, more brilliant, more creative. One of the geniuses born on this planet. Bill Gates, brilliant too, but he believes in the power of team more than Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs had billions. He never really cared about others. His daughter denounced him. Steve Jobs could not get furniture to his house. Can you imagine? You enter his parlor, it's empty ground. There's no furniture because he couldn't get the best creative furniture for his parlor. Close. It's mean, it's hard, it's tough. You know what? Google that you see today, won't have a Google. The founder of Google was friend to Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs got Apple and he locked everything. That's why you can't open Apple to do anything Apple. He wanted everything closed like a cult. Then this guy, forgotten his name now, in Google said, let's do Android. Since we are doing iOS, let's do Android. Let's open it up. Steve Jobs cursed them to his date of death that they made it available for everybody. It should be closed up. Then, Bill Gates just started waking up. The mother said, help the world. Help the world. Do something for the world. Touch the world. He said, Mommy, I'm making money. I don't have time. Now, when he became, for about 14 years, top of the world, the richest person, he said, let's go and invest in the world. Well, the Buffet called him and said, look, let's not leave anything for everybody. Let's take this money and do something. And he began to invest 20, 30, 40, 50 billions. And he started creating all kinds of vaccine, and now they are making malaria vaccine, and he's flying around. He got his boys, billionaires, to sit down and start crafting how to make the world better, scientifically, technology-wise. And you know, he's living on. I just read his testimony, not his testimony, his comment that he will leave only 10 million for his children, each. And the rest will affect the world. You know, can I say something? Please forgive me. God won't mind keeping him alive. The one stupid Christian who is thinking only about himself. Because that man being alive is doing much more good than that other person that's just oppressing everybody in his family. You know, in my few years as a Christian, I've seen husband die. right before my eyes. I've seen those man. I can see a lot of things. They just oppress their wife, oppress their wife, oppress. Just sleep and wake up. You can't come to this life and live well for yourself. Are you hearing me? You stack money. What are you going to do with it? What's your fruit? You know, Bible said something about in Luke, I think it was Luke 18, that they planted a tree, remember? And then for 3 years, they were looking for fruit there. They couldn't find any fruit. Let's go and read that and close. We'll stop there today. Our time is gone. Praise God. Maybe read some books if possible. Let's go to Luke 18. Talking about living life here. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Is it Luke 13? Yeah, it's Luke 13. Let's read that one. We will just start. We'll read next week. Our next chapter. Look at verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You know, they just killed them. You know, just terminated their lives. I mean, they went to go and offer sacrifice in the temple. The man took them with their animals and put them on the altar and slaughtered them. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse than all other Galileans because they suffer such things? Look at next verse. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That's Jesus talking. Next verse. Do you, or those 18 on whom Tower and Siloam fell and killed them? They were not killed by somebody. You just saw the house just topple down and kill 18 of them. Do you think that they were worse than us than all the men who dwell in Jerusalem? Next verse. No! Next verse. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish. What's the meaning of repent there? People just think, okay, I'm sorry. No. Look at next verse. What's the meaning of repent there? He spoke this parable also. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. What happened next? Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? I remember Manzion. Faith Ministry. Their very first outing was on this fruitless tree. How many of you remember fruitless tree? The very first drama that took them all over the world was that fruitless tree. Cut it down. What does it use up the ground? Next verse, quickly. Let's run. Our time is running. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. You know what I saw there? Don't let your life create disagreement in heaven. You remember that? You remember that? The father said, this is not the son is begging. But don't let your life create disagreement in heaven. They'll be, okay, should we? No, okay, father, please, I beg. You know, I mean, they are creating disunity in heaven. Let's keep reading. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, father, cut it down. You know, the reason why your husband marries you, he wants some fruit from there. The reason why your wife marries you, he wants some fruit from there. The reason why your parents want some fruit from there. The reason why you go to work, want some fruit over there. You are here because you are the light. We can't let this place be all dark, am I right? So, oh, pastor, you don't know what I'm passing through. I've been left alone by myself. Then bear fruit where you are. See what you can do there. My mother-in-law had 2 kids. My wife, the other person died. What should you live her life for? Lost her husband when she was 9. But she told herself, I'm going to give them a future. A lot of people today, they won't live very long. You know why? Because they just live for themselves. They don't care about kids. They don't care about life. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the job. They just want to live on their own. That man that was a rich man, the rich fool, remember him? He gathered all his harvests and he put it into a can and he can it and he sit on the can and he said, my soul, go to rest. Enjoy yourself. Dr. Aliba could stop working. He's retired. He's going down there for that patient to take that person to do something. He just only the payment. You know, I thought that when my children grow up, I'm free now. I'm not free. They need somebody older. Somebody more experienced. What will you be? Will you be there? That's why you have to live long. To be an example. To be a blessing. To touch the world. Not just to just live and occupy the ground. He said, fertilize it for fruit. If you're not, remove, 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 remove. Act 11. Pastor, what do you mean? Oh, Acts 9, sorry. Act 9, verse 36. Let's close with this one. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Translated Dorcas. This woman was full of what? Good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Give us an NLT. Make it clearer, simpler. Certain disciple named Tabitha. It's a believer in Joppa named Tabitha. Not a pastor. In Greek, it's Dorcas. She was always doing good, doing kind things for others and helping the poor. That you can do at work. You don't have to have being allowed to do that kind of thing. You just live your life. You know, I see my wife as poor. My children as poor without my contribution. You know why I waste my time here? Because you have so many lives you are connected with. And the better you are, the more those lives will influence for good. Are you hearing me? Look at her. What happened to her? Next verse. And about this time, she became ill and died. Oh, see that death? Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. Go on. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him. Why did Peter was there at that time? Not at that time. Please come as soon as possible. Take a look. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as they arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with who? Widows who were weeping and showing. Now, this lady likely was a single parent or never married. Dorcas. Right? So she didn't have the goodies of life. She didn't have children. She didn't have any child. She didn't have a marriage. But she threw herself into doing good for others. You know, sometimes when life is rough for us, we become really selfish. We think about all ourselves alone. They were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes that I had made for them. Wow. Can I ask you a question? If something happens to you today, nothing happened to you. And then, who will come to cry? Mom, dad, parents, friends, siblings? Would there be anybody else that touched their life, touched them, cry? In your name, you know, say, what do you do? Oh, sorry. Oh, come on, Lord. They were showing the clothes. She's not rich. She's not an apostle. She's just a normal person. So, to God, I wish sometimes I'm just a normal person, not a pastor. Just live normal. Next verse. Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt down and prayed, turning to the body. He said, get up, Tabitha. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Now look at next verse. This is what blew my mind. He gave her his hand, and Peter helped her up. Please listen to, look at, what's it? Who's it? Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he gave her back to them. Actually, was saying, Dorcas, everyone is sweeter, but they need you here now. One woman told me, when my husband's not around, we prosper in our house. When he comes back, there's trouble. Why would God remove such a person? I mean, you know now, you're playing football, and this guy is just playing rough, and he will kick the goalkeeper, his own goalkeeper, and then pass the ball to the house. Coach will say, bum, 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 bum. Actually, you'll be surprised. in the early church, they threaten you with going to heaven. Earlier. Now, we think of going to heaven now. No, they don't want to go to heaven earlier. They want to have accumulation of rewards. Are you hearing me? How can you just enter heaven and you don't have anything to show? You just go through this life. You go through this, you go through all this outer experience, you not get to heaven. Only a tombolo. No crown on your head. Nothing. And then you stay by there. He said, no, we don't want to do that. So when they say, you are going to heaven, they say, Mumba, Mizzi Lord. Like Paul did. I don't want to go now. I got more to do. I want to touch more life. I want a more greater blessing. Praise God, somebody. I need you around. You need me around. Let's influence the world together. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? We can do it. It's a nice place, but we should take other people along with us too. And bring that nice place to their life in a measure. Are we blessed today? We're going to see more. Jesus said, I'm coming back. You know what? He said, he traveled and he gave talents. You remember that story? And he said, do business till I come. So we're busy here now. We're giving heaven influence. Everyone over here is a heaven influencer. Praise God, somebody. Oh, let me close like this. So actually, how should you die? 14, book of Revelation, last book in the Bible. 14, 13, and 14. Let's take a look quickly. Give us, we leave. Hallelujah. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Write this one down. Blessed are those who died. Where? In the Lord. From now on. Since that time. Yes, says the Spirit. They are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work. Don't go until you have hard work to do. walk yourself that the day you lay down on your deathbed, your body will say, my, use me well. Your brain will say, my, nobody can buy this brain. It's been used well. Your hands will say, whoa, you've done so much with life. Your mouth will say, my. You see, I have so much encouragement that I can go and rest now. For they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds. What will they do? They say nothing follows. That's not truth. Some things follow. Praise God. Not cars and houses, but what you do. For that's your employee that you give from extra money to take out. God is counting that. A cup of cold water won't lose their reward. When I saw this, I told myself, when I get to heaven, maybe 10 years, they'll be counting and be clapping for me for what I've done here. I wonder. I can just imagine when I was secondary school, final, when we went for our graduation day, I started getting reward. I started getting prize now. Get biology prize, physics prize. You know, just collecting them. And I got about 8. And after we finish, that doesn't matter at all in the university. It doesn't matter at all. But this one matters. Praise God. It's for eternal crown. Amen. Tell yourself, I must walk. I must serve my Father in heaven. Can we lift our hands and pray and say, Father, I know heaven is waiting for me. Christ is coming back. And thank you for my life. I believe in God and I believe in Christ. Thank you, Lord. And I will live here to the glory of God. I will do so much more for you. Death, I'm not coming now. Life, I want to live more. I want to be a fruit for God. I want to be a blessing to my family, to my colleagues, to my parents, to my children, to my friends. I want to keep bearing fruit. I want to keep bearing fruit, Father. Thank you that my life is making meaning now. Because it's going to have impact on others. Jesus, thank you that you came here to redeem and give me a face value. Now, I'm valuable. Thank you for putting me in circulation. Any money that is good is put in circulation. Thank you that I'm not left to myself tonight. I bring my life before you again. Use me. Use my hands, use my legs, use my heart. Use all that you can get in me. Even use my ignorance, use my errors to help others come out of error. Lord, whatever is available in my life, I offer to you today. I'm not perfect. I'm not the best. But you are making something out of me. And in that journey, you want me to be a blessing. Thank you, Father. Like Dorcas. Thank you because you are presenting me to people. And I'm available to you. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give our offering and get out of here? I'm really blessed tonight. What about you? We'll continue the story, the John 14 next week. Jesus' last words, most intimate words before he left here. We are around verse 4 now. So I tell you, when are we going to finish it? God will help us. So he's going to tell us how to live here on earth before he comes. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's give. Okay, if you want to give an account, through an account, it's over there on the screen. And those who are listening to us online, thank you for joining with us. God bless you, really good. Wherever you are, let's be fruitful. Whether in Bangladesh or Belgium or Okinawa, wherever we are, let's be a blessing. Bear fruit for Jesus. Glory to God. All right. Let's give and get out of here. We'll continue our book next week. Just got this introduced, so we can slow down next week. Friday service. Yeah. I'm taking the healing class from that place to here now from 5 o'clock from next Sunday, from next Friday. We'll be in the hall here now. We'll be having 5 o'clock. We'll start the hall over here. And it's Saturday, June 1st, we're going to have prayer chain. 1 hour between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Just take one of the hours, anyone convenient for you. And we're going to pray. Do you have that list on the screen? We're going to pray for our personal life, our family, and our environment, the people, our nation. You just come over here by yourself. We are not organizing any meeting. You just come to church, get away to be here, and take just 1 hour. So we are going to pray personal life using Colossians chapter 1. I put it on a platform. That prayer talking about fruitful in every good work, energized, strengthened for your personal life. You take those about 3 verses, 9, 10, 11. Those verses, they are loaded. We're going to pray with them. And then we're going to pray for our family. God said, through you, I bless all the families of the earth. So you're going to pray the blessing of God on your family. Each person, you mention them, you bring them the blessing that they require, maybe the blessing of guidance, the blessing of health, the blessing of direction, the blessing of walking more in love. So the blessing we can take. And on Proverbs, that on the city that we live in, this Proverbs talking about by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. We want you to bless our city, bless our nation. Speak your blessing. Let's read the verse. Give us verse 10 and 11. 11, 10, 11. Can you give us? You'll see the verse. We're going to break it down more for you, hopefully. Give us, no, not Colossians. Proverbs 11, verse 10 and 11. Give us an NKJV. Thank you. Hallelujah. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. So we're going to pray that the righteous that are in power and authority who are in our cities, in our nation, they began to do well. Hallelujah. Our Christian HOD, our Christians in the executive, legislature, judiciary, that they will rise up and become really go well with them. And when the wicked perish, jubilation. Next verse, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So the mouth of the wicked talking against our country, we're going to just take it and release the blessing upon your workplace. Declare the blessing in your office, your department, your faculty, your college. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to go and do on June, 1st of June. Just come over here, take the time, 1 hour, and 20 minutes each can be given to. Give us that list again. So we will do that and pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Fantastic. So don't worry, we'll get it out and drop it on the platform. If you don't have your name on the platform, where's Emmanuel? Please come. He's our chief technology officer. You know, so if you want to just get across to him and write your name, WhatsApp number, give it to him. He's around at the end of the service available. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get up on your feet. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What should I choose? I choose to be here. What about you? To be fruitful and to use what God has given me to bless others. Let's just thank God one more time as we come over here. God has blessed us today, helped us to see our lives impacting others, working hard, becoming blessed to be a blessing. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for every one of us over here. Thank you for you brought us over here into Christ Jesus for your own wonderful reasons, to be fruitful, to be a blessing to our world. We know there's heaven to gain and there's hell to shun. You've helped us to escape hell by the blood of your Son. And we're going to heaven. Meanwhile, we are here to be the light and the salt. Thank you for helping us to do just that. Thank you for deepening this truth in our heart as we leave this place in Jesus' name. And helping us to bear fruit out of this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love of God. Before we say surely, say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ his Son. And that is adequate for life. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I believe God's promises. I believe in the person of Jesus. And I believe that all God's promises, they are yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all our days. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you so much. God bless you.